We're going to start in Romans 6. The title of my talk is Eternal Life is a Free Gift. And really, the ultimate goal for all of us is eternal life, isn't it? That's what it is. Otherwise, why are we here? This person that Phil mentioned before, talking to her yesterday, and of course, I think we asked her where she went to church, and she really didn't tell us, did she? She didn't tell us, but she brought out a Bible, and she said, "Oh, do we follow the King James Version?" And we said, "Yes." And she went and got a Bible and came back, and she was talking about this Bible was the best Bible ever. And but she said, "You don't need to speak in tongues anymore. It's passed away." And I said, "Well, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13, it has passed away and it's gone." And anyway, it will go. I said to her, "Has knowledge passed away?" Because that's what it also mentions in 1 Corinthians 13. And knowledge hasn't passed away. It's increasing at a mighty rate and throughout the world, all sorts of things. When you can send photos to people overseas or somewhere else, what an amazing thing that is, you know, even to be able to just talk into your phone and it prints out what you're saying. It's just amazing. And there'll be greater things than that yet, even. And so our ultimate goal, of course, is eternal life. And in Romans 6, I'll get there. In Romans 6, it says in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Who doesn't like a gift? It's nice, isn't it? You know, if I gave each and every one of you $50 each to go and get some fuel or something, you'd think it was a great gift. You'd be happy about it. And but it doesn't matter what it is. If it's a box of chocolates, you'd probably be happier. And, you know, we all like, or most people like chocolate. And because around this time of the year, the traditional churches are loaded with chocolate and chocolate eggs and chocolate rabbits and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, chocolate is nice. But as it says here, you know, but the gift of God is eternal life. And what a wonderful gift it's been promised to us. And it's through Jesus Christ, of course, our Lord. And, you know, if that's our goal, we think of a football team, for instance, you know, what they want to do is get the most goals, don't they, to win. And I was only thinking the other day about how the Eagles thrashed the Hawks over here because their men were in the right place and they were able to kick to their team member, and they got goal after goal after goal, and they beat the Hawks. Then they go to Melbourne for the grand final, and you could tell straight away when they went to go out onto the field that they were defeated. They got the first goal, but that was it. And, you know, after that, the Hawks just ran over them and defeated them. And really, it's a type of thing for us to think about, you know. Okay, sometimes we're a bit down and we get beaten, but our ultimate goal is to win, isn't it? To get eternal life. That's our ultimate goal. Let's go to Galatians 1. Galatians 1 and verse 4, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And is it evil? It really is evil these days. This evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Eternal glory. Wonderful, forever and ever. But that he might deliver us from this present world, it says there, present evil world. And, of course, there's only a few of us here this afternoon, but the thing is, we are all filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are all free. We've been freed from this evil world. We are separate now. And even though the evil world's around and come on us at times, but we are free because we've got the Spirit. It doesn't matter what happens to us. It doesn't matter if we're annihilated for some reason, because we're going to be there on that day. We're going to be raised up. It'll be a wonderful, great blessing. Just over in Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You know, so if we're crucified with Christ, we've died, and we died in the waters of baptism, of course, and our sins went down the plug hole, didn't they? You know, that was it. We were baptised, and then the Lord filled us with the Spirit, and of course, we're alive. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's a gift. The Lord gave himself for us. Once again, you know, it's a great, couldn't get a better gift than that. Micah, we're going to my car, not your car, my car. Micah, which Old Testament, of course, I think it's just after Amos, if I remember, or just before it, one or the other. And in Micah here, we read in verse 14, feed thy people with thy rod. I like that, with thy rod. There's a little R rod here. But feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitary in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto you, unto him, marvellous things. The Lord has shown unto us marvellous things. And especially when we see somebody healed instantly, in fact, you know, especially of things like broken bones and things, it's just, well, it's awe-inspiring, isn't it? And it's just so wonderful. But you know, there it talks about the flock of thine heritage in verse 14. And I was just thinking of flocks and sheep and so on because I was a farmer. But the thing is, with a flock, with stud breeders of, say, merino sheep, these stud breeders have a nucleus flock within their stud flock in a lot of cases. And they are the very special sheep that they like to breed with. But a lot of stud breeders will get their best ram and their worst ewe in the flock and mate them so that they end up producing something that's a little bit better in producing wool and so on. And then it happens again there, and it gradually gets to the stage where they end up with what they're after in fleece, you know, a really good white fleece. And interestingly, a lot of the sheep, a lot of them, when you see them, have got brown eyes. There was a farmer out at Colleyway out here that used to pick sheep with blue eyes, white, more or less white eyes, blue eyes, and because of that, he got no black fibres in the wool, because when you dye wool, if it's got black fibres in it, they can't get it out, and they might want a white, completely white garment, and, you know, it's so hard for them to get it out. And this chap, and he used to get very high prices for his wool. And so it's interesting, those sorts of things. But there was part of this nucleus flock, you know, and this nucleus flock, of course, have the best traits in the animal. And, of course, with us, the Lord, we've all got the best traits now. You know, the Lord's given us this spirit that's really changed us to be the show winner, isn't it? You know, that's how it is. What a blessing. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, we're going to read in verse 8. It says, thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh to Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go unto the land which the Lord had given them. And, of course, that happens these days, you know, your doctrine's wrong and so on and so forth. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upwards shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So here's two, Caleb and Jephthah, they followed the Lord. So they were older than the 20-year-old, but they were going to go up to the land that the Lord had promised us. And, of course, our type is that, you know, we are going to the land that the Lord's promised, the everlasting life land. We're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years or a day in the Lord's time, and then we'd probably live forever and ever with the Lord. Whatever. You might be doing something on another planet somewhere trying to bring people to the Lord or whatever. We don't know. But we're going to live forever. And so the Lord has given us in an inheritance. That's what it amounts to. And what a blessing of the inheritance. Sometimes when you have people have a will, what happens? You know, one member of the family gets a lot more than somebody else in the family. And what's it do? It causes strife, doesn't it? But the Lord has given us all the same thing. And our inheritance through the Holy Spirit is eternal life, of course. Just over in Deuteronomy 8, and verse 15, we read here, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there is no water, who brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end." And of course, that's what really happened for us in the world. In verse, our latter end is what we've been talking about, is the eternal life. But we have already, before we came to the Lord, in many cases, you know, there was droughts, and people have had, even if they're in the cities and places like that, you know, if there's a drought, then there's water restrictions and so on and so forth. There's always something that causes a hardship in our lives. But we came to the Lord, and we still have had a few hardships along the way. But the thing is that it's the Lord, as it says in verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna. And he has done that, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. So, God has guided us, he's fed us, to do us good, of course. And, of course, today in our fellowships, most of us have come from Shem, Ham or Japheth. And, the Shemites, I suppose you could call them, were the Anglo-Saxon race. And Ham had two sons, Mizraim, which is Egypt, and Cush, which is Europe, which and Cush had Nimrod, who started Babylon. And of course, most of Europe is Catholic today. And so we see that there. Then Japheth was the Slavonic peoples. It says modern Russia is part of that. The Ashkenazan Jews even has come from Japheth, which is interesting, isn't it? Anyway, we'll finish up in 1 John chapter 5. So, you know, people have come from all walks of life today. Israel and the Gentile nations also. And because we've come from these... there's something. 1 John chapter 5. And we read here in... verse 11, it says, "And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And, of course, really, if we looked at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, we see that we are of the body of Christ. We make up the body of Christ. We are in his Son. And in verse, we'll read 12, "And he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. And these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." And this is, the Son of God. Down in verse 20 we read, "And we know that the Son of God is come, has given us an understanding." That's one thing that I never had when I was in the Anglican Church. Didn't have any understanding whatsoever. but I've got a little bit now. Thank the Lord. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Wow, can't wait. I want to be there now. Who doesn't? All the people said.